Welcome to Freedom Means, heard every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 1280 Radio. I'm Adrian Ford, and I have a very special guest on the Freedom Means program today, a colleague and a friend, Vicente Sanabria. And I got his name right. Always, or yes. Some of us call him Vicente or whatever. It's Vicente Sanabria. And Vicente works with Jody Bridell, as some of us. He's going to talk about that importance of the Growing Places Garden Project. But he's also going to talk about a field that I mentioned last week also, the health disparities. And and the Minority Coalition recently got funded to address health disparities in this region. So Vicente is an authority on a lot of the issues that that we have been involved in through this grant, and is a sheer pleasure to have him on the Freedom Means program. And I hope he comes back, because I was at a meeting this morning talking about the great disparities in outcomes when we're talking about health in different populations. So welcome to the Freedom Means program.
Well, thank you, Adrian, and I really appreciate
you. So now it's all yours. I don't have nothing else to say here.
I appreciate you getting my name right. I think that's the biggest beef that I have in life, so I guess I'm not doing too bad. But, I want to thank you for this opportunity. The work that I do, let me just mention that that in addition to Growing Places Garden Project, I'm also the director of the Central Mass Center for Healthy Communities, which is a program of LUC, and we provide services all throughout Worcester County. In the area of public health, and working with the Minority Coalition, which is really a great group of people to work with up here in not only the Fitchburg area, but the surrounding areas, and thinking about what I can share, I like to start off with just a common denominator. I think when we're speaking about health disparities, that's such a broad term. But if I were to ask the audience a question, what do these things have in common? Heart disease, cancer, overweight and being obese, diabetes, high blood pressure, respiratory disease, circulation problems, muscle atrophy, mental health such as depression, low self-esteem, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, dental hygiene, hair loss, eyesight problems, limb mobility, and income production. What it comes down to is health disparities. There are some areas that a person can actually improve their life by improving their nutrition. In public health, there's a term that we use, most people have not heard of this term, but it's called excess death. And, it's kind of scary when you think about it, but there's sort of some scientific projections on what would be allowable in a society in terms of death, and much of the death is preventable. When we're talking about health disparities, particularly racial and health disparities and the economic factor of it, there's a difference between those that make $20,000 a year and below and those that make over $75,000 a year. One difference is that those that are in poverty, Jody talked last week about the poverty guidelines, which for 2009, I believe, a family of four, it's a little over $22,000 a year for a family of four. And in this great nation of ours, we have over 45 million people that are making less than $23,000 a year for a family of four and trying to survive, especially in these economic times, because it doesn't change that much. And so the difference being that if you make less than $20,000 a year, you will live less than 10 years, or you'll live less than 10 years than someone making over $75,000 a year. And I think that, with the resources that we have, it's really painful.
Could you repeat that again?
Let me say it another way. If you're making less than $20,000 a year, you will die 9 years sooner than someone making $75,000 a year. Now, the interesting thing about it is that in talking about racial and ethnic disparities, say that you're a black woman, and a high-powered attorney, and I know such a case, and her infant mortality rate is the same as a black woman making $20,000 a year. And what that speaks to us, you know, and it isn't just, you know, with blacks, it's also Latinos, is that this country actually, the dynamics, racial dynamics that we're involved with, even though as people of color we have advanced, when we've gotten degrees, you know, we have a president that broke so many barriers, we're actually dying because of the stress and the cortisol levels that are released in people of color. And this has been scientifically documented. There's a film that we have in our library, and we have the largest public health library that's open to the public, and it's called Unnatural Causes. And there's some documentaries on it, and it talks exactly on why is it that people in this country are dying at a faster rate than anywhere else in the world. And so get into these areas. I don't want to bog down people with a lot of statistics, but a couple of them that are kind of interesting, and they have to do a lot with this area, is heart disease death by race and ethnicity. And here in Central Mass, we have about 186 people per 100,000 that die, and these are blacks, as opposed to 209 in Massachusetts. So in that area, blacks fare better, are healthier in terms of not dying of heart disease than in the state. Now, if you look at Latinos are at the highest rate in the state in Central Mass, 152 Latinos per 100,000 in this area, as opposed to 103 in the state of Massachusetts. And another area that I'll talk about is the prevalence of diabetes. And even though the numbers that I'm talking about range from 1994 to 2005, I feel, and a lot of my colleagues feel, that the current trend will continue. And so in 1995, and this is the overall prevalence of diabetes, it was a little under 4% of the population here in Massachusetts. In 2005, it was 6.4%. And we're seeing that in our schools. We're seeing the rates of obesity in our schools. There are many other things that I can say about that. But I think that if you watch the news, and I know that the audience that is listening to me is mixed, and so I'm keeping acronyms at a minimum. But a question that people have is, we realize what the problem is, what the magnitude of what we're seeing. What is the solution? And to that, I would have to respond, I'm glad that you asked that question. one is that I know from my personal example, nutrition was something that was a mystery to me. I didn't know what correct nutrition was. I felt that as long as my stomach was full, that I was okay. I grew up in a small town south of here called Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in poverty, the DeKalb Projects in Bedford-Stuyvesant. And I've seen a lot of my family members die. And it was traceable to that litany of things that I gave in the beginning. I look at nutrition as empowerment and social justice, as an opportunity to create community. Because the fact of the matter is that in a lot of our communities where you don't have access, you don't have a vehicle to go down to Market Basket as frequently as you want, or Shaw's, that you depend on the bodegas. You depend on the mom and pop stores.
Can you hold that thought?
Sure.
Okay. You're listening to Freedom Means program, heard every Sunday here on AM 1280 Radio. This is Adrian Ford with my guest, Vicente Sanabria. And he is a member of the Minority Coalition. He works with the Growing Places Garden Project. He is an authority on many of these issues around health and probably equally important, he works with the LUC program.
The Central Mass Center for Healthy Communities.
Yes. So thank you. Thank you for that. So continue.
I'd like to build on what Jody said last week. I'm involved with them, and I'm learning a whole lot. This is a great opportunity for people that find themselves in my situation. I come from ancestors of gardeners back in Puerto Rico, but in Brooklyn, it's all concrete. And so I'm looking forward to having a garden this year and I'm planting it. But excuse me, and talking about some of the outcomes, or you know, what happened to people that were involved in Grown Places Garden Project. What I like is on how community is built. And for example, in 2007, 83% of the gardeners in Grown Places Garden Project, they grew enough food for themselves, and that's good. The amazing thing that I really get a kick out of is the community aspect of it, that 92% of those gardeners in 2007 gave food to others, and 100% of them said that they will continue gardening. In order for us to build a healthier community, we need to look at what is the common unity among us. And that common unity is food.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter the race, ethnic, or culture. You know, everybody eats. There's the Thanksgiving feast, there's the Kwanzaa, there's the Hanukkah, yeah, I mean, you name it, and groups of people eat. And it builds community. The Grown Places Garden Project works on developing that type of community because people grow an amazing amount of food. And as is our custom as human beings, the compassion in our hearts just says that, you know, there's more than enough for me to feed my family. Let me give to others. And so that's one of the aspects that I really like about it. The other thing, let me just give a couple of pointers, members of the audience that are familiar with the bodegas and mom and pop stores. You might go down there, since you're a customer, and talk to the bodeguero, which is the owner of the bodega and the mom and pop, and say, you know, that a few of us buy our milk here, Pampers and what have you. We would really appreciate it if you would bring in some, like, green produce. And that we would buy the green produce, we would buy the tomatoes, because a lot of the mom and pop stores shy away from that because it's a loss for them. And a couple of other things is that as community, we can learn from each other. We can learn how to cook with certain vegetables, and there's a newsletter that Grown Places Garden Project puts together, and I've learned about radishes. I've not really cared about too much about radishes. Collard greens that you can actually put a blanket over them and they'll keep for a while, so I'm going to experiment with that. And lastly, let me just mention that, living in the city of Fitchburg or Lemonster, a lot of people are worried about the safety in the streets. Nutrition is part of it, but also recreation. Work with the city, develop neighborhood associations, crime watches, so that you can supplement with the city some of the things that you need, that you identify in order to be able to walk the streets, exercise in the streets, allow your children to ride bicycles in the parks. And that will go a long way in lowering these areas that I mentioned at the beginning of the program.
I like the idea and the aspects and the context of community building. And the sharing, because you brought me back when I was listening to you. I had mentioned to Jody last week about the Kumba School having that garden, that farm out in Spencer, and
yes,
and what you reminded me was when they harvested,
mm-hmm.
and how they would go and share that
yes.
with others when they came back to Fitchburg. And with family and the community. And we actually left a lot of the fruit there at the pyramid so when people came in, they could just mm-hmm. take some. And that's a good area we don't talk about.
It's something for us to celebrate.
That's
I mean,
right.
Harvesting has always been part of the human experience.
Okay. I've enjoyed this conversation. You have to come back. And
I would love to.
We're going to bring Jody back as well. But this is a conversation that I think touches a lot of people,
yes,
transcends race and class. So.
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
The last thing I would say is that you don't have to die of these diseases prematurely.
Thank you. You have been listening to The Freedom Means with Adrian Ford, heard every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 1280 Radio. Feel free to reach me at Ford7_AL@Yahoo. Have a good morning.